following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
What are we talking about here? Orgy? Is it a human sacrifice of some kind?
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I've studied the human mind. I've learned how to read it and ultimately control it.
Fascinating. I can't wait to read it.
It's $14.99 on my website.
Okay.
Plus shipping and handling.
Even if I buy it here?
It ships from somewhere else, isn't it? And I've been handling it.
Paul Perillo.
Very attractive man. Can fit a whole octopus in his mouth. Sort of an animal magnetism about him.
And Andy. And Andy?
Do you have any idea what it's like, Tim, to be up to your elbow in a zebra's vagina?
Andy Hart.
What does it make you think of?
I guess it kind of makes me think of your penis.
Then you get it.
Eric Scalavino.
You know, that is so like you. You call a guy a douche and you get your first museum show out of it.
For now, anyway.
It smells like cabbage on this floor.
That's the smell of dead dreams.
I go to the clubs at night and people are like, hey, who's wearing the coleslaw? You know how hard it is to get laid when you smell like coleslaw?
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh man, they are planning one hell of a party.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Paul's here. Andy is not.
It'll be another lonely PFW in progress.
Out buddy. Another day due to some other things that we probably won't get into, I guess. I don't know.
Well, he tweeted it out, so.
His wife tore her Achilles.
Yeah.
So he has to be out of work.
yeah.
Okay, well, he won't be here. Eric will be by later. Kevin's in the booth, and we got a lot to talk about because the Patriots are getting ready for a Monday night game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I can't believe the differences in these weeks. Last week,
right?
You know, it was the Jets, and it was this excitement and sort of apprehension because
trepidation.
Of, you know, yeah,
yeah.
Well, apprehension, trepidation, same. And you were going into the game really not having any idea what to expect. And hoping for the best. This week, you're playing a Kansas City team that is coming off losses to a winless Miami and a Denver team that completed two passes at home, both games at home. And the quarterback is out, and no one knows even who these guys are that are playing. They have so many guys injured, no one even knows who's out there. And it's just a really strange atmosphere around here.
Well,
there's no fear whatsoever of this game.
You know, it's interesting because I think most people are kind of figuring the Colts are going to end up with the worst record.
Yeah.
All right? So Polian has come right out and said, you know, we wouldn't be opposed to drafting a quarterback, mm-hmm. which he should. He should. Everybody should think that, yeah.
He even said something about Manning is on board with that because of that report that came out about a month ago that supposedly Manning was not on board with it.
So even though Polian is saying that, might the real battle to suck for luck be the number two slot? Because who's ever in number two was going to do a deal maybe with the Colts.
I'm feeling you, dog.
You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
So it might be, you know, maybe, you know, no team would ever admit, you know, tanking a season, but teams like Miami, Kansas City are still in the running. For Andrew Luck.
The only thing is, I personally don't think it gives you any better chance to get the number one seed if you're two as opposed to four. I mean, I think you can offer whatever you want to offer Indianapolis to get from four to one.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
Or three to one. I mean, I know exactly what your point is. I don't dismiss it.
Right.
But I think if you're three,
unless you
want the quarterback,
but unless you
trade up to one. But, if you give more than two gave to get up to one,
unless the second guy that everyone covets is not a quarterback and is so far above the rest of the field that the Colts have to get that guy.
You know what?
So they need to move to two.
And we sort of discussed this on a cursory level in the last couple of weeks. We really need to sit down and watch, and we probably won't get a chance to do it. Andrew Luck.
Well, I've seen some of his games.
And I'll tell you, I was not impressed with what I saw against Oregon.
Really?
No. I thought he looked a little bit jittery. I thought he floated a lot of passes. Now, turnovers happened. They got in an amazing shootout. He obviously does not have the personnel that Oregon has.
Right.
So I'm not saying I wouldn't touch him, but I'm just saying this is a guy who is being widely considered absolute can't miss. And just to be clear, Jamarcus Russell was not considered that. You know, a lot of people say, well, you never know what these number one picks.
No, this guy is...
Jamarcus Russell was not considered by everybody to be a number one can't miss. Some people didn't think he was a first-round quarterback, let alone a number one overall quarterback.
No,
But nobody is dissenting. Well, I guess Phil Simms said there was something about his... Not sure he makes all the pros.
Well, he's just bitter. But I've seen, I think, three of his games so far this season. And I have to say that, A... From what I hear, he's just got that tight end who's phenomenal. I really like him.
Fleener?
Yeah.
His name?
But that's really his only true target. I think that when I see this guy backpedal, set, throw, he looks like... I see it.
Okay.
I see it.
I trust you, Freddie.
You know, I see the decisiveness. I see the accuracy. And I think that once he's surrounded by, you know, talent, I think this guy will...
I think the scouts are saying what they're saying.
Oh,
yeah. No, I agree with that. I can see, I've seen enough to see why the scouts feel the way they do.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I mean, when I watched Manning at Tennessee, I saw what the scouts were talking about, but I feel like I felt better about that. And maybe that's not fair that I'm looking at him the way I, you know, and comparing it to Manning. Maybe that's not fair for a college kid. Because it's hard to remember what exactly you thought of Manning in 1997.
And Tennessee and the SEC is different than the Pac-12 and Stanford.
But it's impossible to eliminate what's happened in the last 14 years to Manning and not let that cloud your judgment of what you remember him at Tennessee.
Sure. Yeah. So anyway, we don't want to get into draft talk.
No, an interesting point you bring up. You know, does someone who finishes second, do you try to make sure you don't win too many games so you don't fall too far away from one? So, because, I mean, if you're five, well, now you have to have a better package than 4, 3, and 2.
Right.
To get to number one. As opposed to if you're two, you just have to come up with, you know, something.
You know, so it will be very, very intriguing, you know, because of luck and because of the teams that are in there and because it looks like Indy, who has a quarterback. Now, here's another thing about Indy. Do you hide the status of Peyton Manning as long as possible? Because if you come right out now and say Peyton Manning is retiring, he's never going to play again, well, all of a sudden now, okay, they're going to get Andrew Luck. But if people don't know that, you know, so is that part of the strategy as well?
It may be. And with a guy like Polian, I wouldn't doubt it because he's so much like Bill, our Bill
Belichick. And you work with Peyton Manning on that as well. You know, we can make our team better if people think we're going to take Luck, so play with us here.
The only thing is on that is I think they can still take Luck. Well, let's just say that Peyton Manning was 100% healthy right now.
Yep.
I wouldn't dismiss them taking Luck.
Well, Jim from Walpole said there's a rumor that the Redskins are willing to trade for Peyton Manning.
Right.
You know?
And that'll be interesting, too. And you'll find out something, I think, about Manning's health when that bonus is due.
Right.
Which is, what, March?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's like a $28 million bonus. That's a lot of money to just say, well, we think he's going to be healthy. They have to be pretty sure.
And it's a lot of money to bluff, too.
Which also makes sense that Washington would be involved because
they don't care.
Sure enough, Washington would throw the money down the toilet.
Right.
But they wouldn't be able to make that move until I think it's March 1st.
I think
it's the start of the new league year, and that's when you'd be able to trade.
I hope if Manning does get healthy, I hope Washington doesn't get him because it's going to all of a sudden make Shanahan look good, you know.
Yeah, I think Andy's right about that, though. You know, Shanahan is ruining enough guys.
Right.
You know, his stubbornness. I could see Manning saying, you know, go over there. Listen, I run the offense, and Shanahan wouldn't like that.
No.
Plus, he's a West Coast offense guy. That's definitely not suitable to Manning's strengths.
True. Yeah, so that's going to be fascinating. But the whole reason I brought this up was because, of course, Kansas City Chiefs are in the running for one of the worst records in the league.
Well, I mean, they'd have to probably lose out for that. They're 4-5.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Do they say, you know what? We've lost our quarterback. We can't do a damn thing. Do we just tank the season at this point? That's why
That's how you got on this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I think that's a bad team. I think that could happen.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I predicted Kansas City to fall apart this year, but it's a moot point because I didn't predict them to lose, you know, Eric Berry and Jamal Charles and Matt Castle. I didn't know all their talent was going to get decimated. They've been hit with not just a lot of injuries, but significant injuries.
Now, I heard Belichick talk about Palko, and he said that he pretty much is the same type of quarterback as Castle, so they won't have to really adjust their offense at all.
Yeah, I could see that. Again, I haven't seen Palko play as an NFL player, but I do remember him at Pitt. You know that I don't particularly like left-handed quarterbacks.
You're a lefty.
Right. That's why I don't like him.
Oh. Well, don't project, Paul.
But he was a guy that moved around a little bit. He could throw on the run. He could make some plays with his legs. Not sure he's as good a passer as Matt Castle. Don't know enough about him as an NFL player. The one thing that I would be concerned about in this game, and it's a stretch, but you just can't let Dwayne Bowe get behind you.
Right.
You know, and probably Baldwin too. You just got to make sure that anybody can just throw one up for somebody. I mean, you don't have to be an accurate passer to complete a 50-yard bomb.
Right.
It's sort of like this. It seems like it doesn't make any sense when you say it like that. Obviously, the easier passes to complete are the ones, you know, at or around the line of scrimmage. But I think that the longer the pass, the less accurate you need to be. So you get Dwayne Bowe one-on-one down the sideline with someone, it doesn't take a precise passer to just throw one up 50 yards downfield and say, hey, Dwayne, go up and make a play for me.
Right.
The Patriots need to make sure that doesn't happen.
But even if that happens twice in the game, I'm not worried.
But I'm not either, Fred, but that's the only – but if the Chiefs come out and they get the opening kickoff and they do that, and then they come up with a stop, and then maybe they do it again, and all of a sudden, you know, they believe, and it becomes a difficult game for you. That's right. What I'm talking about, you know? But if you're telling me the Chiefs going to have to go 10 plays, 12 plays to score, there's no way they're going to run the ball well enough to have Palko complete a 3rd and 8 at the stakes. And I don't see him doing that consistently. This is a game I think Kansas City will be in the 20% range for 3rd downs, and they're going to end up with fewer than 10 points.
I'll say this. The Patriots can have the same defensive game plan that they had against Pittsburgh and win the game, but if they execute it like they did against Pittsburgh, they have a chance to lose.
No, I actually like your original thought better.
Okay.
I think you could just keep everybody in front of you and win because he won't be able to hit the guy. Roethlisberger hit all the open receivers. This guy won't.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even if you execute it the same way, I don't think this guy will make you pay.
Okay. Webradio at patriots.com is the
probably
email
a little
address.
Unfair of me, not really knowing him as an NFL player.
He could come out and be.
He has been on 3 teams.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
I think he started 7 games.
No, he's never started.
Oh, never. Well, played in.
He may have played in.
I think he's
some
thrown
games,
13 passes.
That sounds right, but he's never started a game.
Yeah. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Another thing that came up. Besides the Chiefs in Bill Belichick's press conference, I guess Sports Illustrated's Rick Riley was in the crowd today.
ESPN.
Oh.
Rick Riley's ESPN.
I thought Rick Riley was Sports
Illustrated. He was, yeah, a long time ago.
Oh.
He's been at ESPN.
Well, anyway, ESPN's Rick Riley was in the crowd today, and he obviously it's a Monday night game, so he asked Bill Belichick if he had ever had a confrontation with a fan before or had ever been gone after a fan that was heckling.
I think he said
him.
Something. Has he ever engaged with a heckler? I think that's how he worded it.
And,
but
and Bill wasn't taking any of that.
No, you know, we're right now we're dealing with Kansas City and trying to prepare for a team that we haven't seen a lot of lately. We're not really familiar with them. That was it.
Yep. So unfortunately, he didn't buy. You know, that would have been good to if he had some stories about that.
In answering another question, I thought it was interesting that he offered up. He was talking about, you know, how he goes about his business as a coach and what he does. And, you know, I think the question was about when you're implementing so many younger guys, inexperienced guys, how do you go about trying to get them ready? And Bill was saying how as a head coach, one of the nice things about being a head coach is really you can go anywhere you want. You know, you can go over and focus on any area of the team that you decide might need it that day. And he actually was saying that, you know, the assistants do all the coaching, but if, you know, any time that he wants to convey something, you know, if he sees a problem or whatever, you know, he's going to make sure he addresses it. He'll go to the meeting room or out in the field or whatever, and he'll tell them what he thinks, you know, is important. And he said he tries to do that on a weekly or a daily basis. But in answering this question, it was kind of one of those, you know, long roundabout ways when he's answering a question about something else. But he offered up, you know, any time – we have something, you know, with the coaches too, not just the players. If he doesn't like the calls, you know, from Billy or Scott or Matt. So basically he's telling you that Matt Patricia is the defensive coordinator, even though he didn't say that. And he kind of later said that whole thing about, you know, I know that titles are very important externally. You know, whether you're the president of the United States or a graduate assistant, you have your job to do and you do it.
Right.
You know, we don't really focus on what the, but I just thought it was interesting the way he said the three people that call plays, Bill O'Brien, the offensive coordinator, Scott O'Brien, the special teams coordinator, and Matt.
Right.
So clearly Matt Patricia is the guy who calls up. We already knew this, but he has never really said that, I don't think.
Well,
to my
I don't want to get into a big discussion again, but I think on some teams, the title of defensive coordinator entails also constructing the defense. And on this team, that may not be the case. Defensive coordinator may be simply the guy who helps construct and calls the plays, but Belichick is still kind of the guy who constructs the defense.
Yeah, well, no, it's a system that he's had the whole time he's been here.
Right. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are we getting into?
That might be a reason why the title isn't as important, because.
Oh no! Well, Bill O'Brien didn't construct the offense.
Matt Patricia isn't like Dick LeBeau. You know, he's not like that type of defensive.
Bill Belichick's not like Dick LeBeau.
Oh, I think
Belichick didn't construct the defense that he runs.
Well, I think he did.
Dick LeBeau did construct the defense that he runs.
You mean the 3-4?
No, the zone blitz. He's the architect of the zone blitz.
Okay.
Is that what you didn't want to get into?
No, that isn't.
Because now I get
it. No, I'm just saying.
Because we don't have to get into it.
What I didn't want to get into was the differences in what the role of a defensive coordinator can be from team to team.
No, I would agree with you on that.
And that might be one of the reasons why the Patriots aren't big on the titles, because, you know, it's different, you know? So anyway. No, but it is. I mean, we kind of knew that Bill O'Brien calls the plays, Matt Patricia calls the defensive plays, and of course Scott O'Brien on special teams. You know, which made me think. You know, the other day we were criticizing Rex Ryan for putting McKnight back there for that punt. That was probably Mike Westhoff's call to do that. You know, because I think Westhoff has a lot of control over the special teams.
It may have been, but like Bill said today in answering that question, ultimately anything that goes wrong or right falls on my shoulders.
Right.
Because I have the ability to say I don't like that.
Right.
Or I want this. I don't want that on anything, and that's how it came up.
He overrules. He can overrule.
Yes.
Sure.
And actually, it led to a follow up question. Tom Curran from Comcast, our buddy on Quickslants, said, you know, how often would you think that you overrule a play from Bill O'Brien, or that you call a play, whatever? And I don't really call. I don't keep track of them, and you know, and I got kind of annoyed because I thought that was a good question, and. It's Bill's prerogative not to answer it. That I totally get.
Yeah, he doesn't want.
Right, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
Bill doesn't. But what I got annoyed at was, of course, the media. He goes, I really don't keep track of him.
Really?
And I'm like, that's a really good question that the guy just answered, and now you've totally disarmed the situation, and now Bill doesn't have to answer it. Now, listen, it's Bill's prerogative whether to answer it or not. You know, and then Tom actually followed up, and I think he was a little annoyed by because everybody starts laughing. It wasn't funny.
Yeah, there's nothing funny about that.
And Tom followed up. He said, "Well, would you say maybe like once a week? You know, is that fair? I don't know, Tom. You know, and clearly Bill didn't want to answer it. And again,
but
I have
Tom,
no problem.
That's the right question.
Yeah,
to ask.
I have no problem with Bill not answering it
right.
Because for what you said, he's not going to say
right.
You know, because it may appear to make his offensive coordinator look
right
bad.
Right.
You know,
right.
Emasculated in some way. Well, yeah, I mean, 6, 7, 8 times a game, I got to come in and, you know,
and
he doesn't know what he's doing.
And once you say it, you're pinned down to that answer.
Right.
So, but it's the right question.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with the question.
No.
I didn't think there was anything wrong that Bill didn't really want to get into it, but I didn't find the humor in it.
People were just yucking
it up. Oh, they cackle. You know, because, you know, Bill just says, oh. and it's just like, you do that, and then you prevent him from even having that. I know he's not going to answer it. It's not like if we make it uncomfortable for him, he's going to say, all right, well, you know what? Yeah, 3 times. I know he's not going to answer it, but you completely disarm the situation.
Right.
Now he's off the hook. Ah, they think I'm fine. I got him.
Right.
You know, I got him. I don't have to. It's annoying to me.
You know, so I did hear, though, that through the grapevine, that in the Jets game, communication was a little bit of a problem.
Yes, on the calls, Matt Light was very upset with Brady. And this was something you could see on TV. I'm not sure if you guys noticed it live. On the safety, and I don't know the specifics, but it looked to me like Light was complaining to Brady that they didn't have enough time. And Collinsworth sort of talked about that a little bit. And I don't know how much, you know, he knew what was going on or whatever, but just that, I think that the line calls, Brady, I think at times wasn't giving the offensive line enough time to make their adjustments.
Right, right.
And then I guess they went to the sideline, and then we had a camera guy down there, not working for the Patriots, by the way. This was one of the affiliates here who mentioned to us yesterday that he heard Light and Brady kind of squawking about this, and Bill O'Brien said that's our fault. We didn't get the calls in quickly enough. They were having a hard time hearing, and maybe even the communication went out or something.
Well, it wouldn't be surprising.
Wouldn't be unprecedented, yeah. That's for sure.
The Meadowlands.
Absolutely.
You know, $1.6 billion, and they can't make a phone call. But anyway, so that, you know, but, can, you know, it brings up that whole issue of, you know, what's going on in the sideline? What's the communication like? Who's calling the plays? And I think so it's an interesting topic. And also goes back to something that Eric.
I'm glad I brought it up. You thought it was interesting.
Also something that Eric brought up last week that Bill gave him, you know, a rather lengthy answer on. And since then, a lot of people have been starting to do stories on is when and when not to do the no huddle or the hurry up, which isn't always the same thing, or the 2-minute offense. And, you know, the stresses that's sometimes not that it puts on the other team, but that puts on your own team.
Right. And Eric's going to do that in the paper this week. He's going to take a little bit of an analytical look at that. And he talked to Tom Brady about it. I don't know exactly what Tom said today. But
one-on-one?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Please, you think Tom's going to talk to us one-on-one?
Well,
come on.
You never know. You know, if it's Eric.
Right. Right. Maybe he read his postcard.
I know Eric's been feeling, you know, in the past a little bit slighted by the head coach, but I think lately the head coach has been giving Eric some really good answers.
Yeah.
I think you should feel good about that.
I think generally, I think a little bit differently than you and Eric do about good answers. I think the longer an answer is, the worse it is.
Well, it may not be a good answer in terms of the information you're getting, but it's good. It makes you feel good that he's spending time on the question you asked, even though it may not be what you're looking for, or,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
It is.
But, yeah, that is something Eric's going to look at, and hopefully he gets that. That'll be in the paper next week, the next issue. So it'll be the wrap-up of the Chiefs game. We'll have a story on the no huddle. And I think you make a good point, Freddie, about people look at the success rate. And that the Patriots do seem to have more success when they go to the no huddle. And, you know, this past game, they were coming off 3 straight 3-and-outs. In the third quarter, 3 straight 3-and-outs in the third quarter. They went to the no huddle and they scored touchdowns in the next 2 drives. But I do think that it's easy to look at that and say, well, why don't they do the no huddle all the time? It does cause problems for your team as well. And when you're trying to get things done quickly, that's one of them. You know, you're on the road, you're in a hostile environment, and you're trying to get some communication things done at the line of scrimmage. That's hard.
It is.
And all of a sudden, someone misses one, and it costs you 2 points. And ultimately, it costs you 9 points because you end up punting away, you know, the free kick, and the Jets went right down the field and put 7 on the board. And all of a sudden, it's 9, you know, you're down 9-6. After you really, you know, pretty much were in control of the first half, they came 9 seconds away from going into the locker room, either tied or trailing.
Right.
So there are some drawbacks to the no huddle.
And Bill mentioned another thing that, you know, sometimes you just don't think about is, sure, no huddle tires out the defense, but if you're spreading them out, your wide receivers are running routes, sometimes 20, 30 yards on every one of those plays. They're getting gas too. You know, so you have to worry about that, about your own receivers. You know, now if you're running the ball, okay, it's a little different. But if you're running routes and spreading them out, they're going to get tired. You know, so you can't do it all game as much as fans would like to do.
And, you know, you're sort of locked in, you know, not that you can't substitute because you can, but you're sort of locked into the personnel you have out there. And clearly that's been an issue with Ocho Cinco. You know, a lot of people are like, well, he had a couple of big catches for you in the first half, and then we didn't see a lot of him in the second half. Well, you ended up going, you went 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out. So that's 9 plays. Right?
Right.
Then you went no huddle. he hasn't really been a part of the no-huddle offense. And I don't know if that's because he doesn't get it or they're sticking with the personnel that they have with Branch and Welker along with the two tight ends, which I think is probably the bigger reason. So all of a sudden, you're taking an element of your offense out of the game too. You know, and that hasn't been a huge issue because Ocho hasn't been overly productive. But just a couple of other – there's more factors involved. And I think Belichick did a good job of that a couple of weeks ago when Eric asked him about it, sort of explaining some of the downsides of when and where you do that stuff.
TG and N, let's see. Oh, Josh writes in from Washington, D.C., breaking news – the Eagles have released Jarrett Page, so Belichick, the GM, gets a little street cred back with that bit of news, says Josh from D.C. So,
what if Page signs with the Patriots?
Well, I guess I don't know. I don't know. What does that mean? He waited him out and got him for the right price?
No, but how does he get street cred back?
Well,
he signed as a free agent somewhere else.
No, I know, but the Patriots chose not to sign him.
No, they didn't.
They didn't?
No.
Why?
He signed somewhere else.
I know.
To my knowledge, the Patriots never made an offer.
Well, they chose not to make him an offer.
Is he better or worse than Sterling Moore?
I don't know.
Is he better or worse than Ross Ventrone?
I would think he would be
better. Is he better or worse than James Ahedabo?
I would think he would be better, but maybe not for the price. I don't know.
Well, exactly. He went and got an offer from Philadelphia that was greater than he was worth. That I agree with. But I don't understand what it has to do with Belichick. The guy was overpaid in Philadelphia. I think we can all agree on that. And he crapped out. I don't know what that has to do with Bill Belichick.
Well,
I think it's a shot at Andy Reid's general manager
they
skills.
Made a decision not to make an offer to a guy who's not playing right now, which kind of vindicates him a little bit. If he went on to Philly and had a pretty good season, I think there'd be reason to be upset given the depth that they have right now.
See, I just look at it as a player, could he help you or not? And I think he could.
Well,
and I wouldn't be surprised to see the Patriots sign him, to be honest with you. As a guy who knows the system and could come in and help you out.
Well, honestly, I think they should. To be honest with you, I think they should.
I mean, I think he's better than every safety the Patriots have, with the exception of Patrick.
Yeah, I don't know the circumstances around his release in Philly.
Yeah, and maybe he had a lot of injuries here in New England last year.
Exactly.
Maybe he didn't come back for them. Maybe he's not that guy anymore. I don't know.
Yeah,
but if I would rather have him on my team than any of the Patriots safeties other than Patrick Chung.
Tony says he's from Toronto, but he also says brilliant commentary on Aaron Rodgers yesterday, Andy. He is most definitely a douchebag. Paul, you also get an honorable mention for bringing something to the Aaron Rodgers is a douche conversation by saying that it's enough already with the draft day chip on his shoulder. I've been on the anti-Aaron Rodgers bandwagon since I first saw his meathead championship belt celebration last year. And Paul, you're totally on the money with that douchey look on his face and the air of arrogance that comes off of him. I think the final straw was when I saw the video of him walking through an airport completely blowing off that diehard Packer fan that was dying of cancer. He apparently made amends for that, but it just reeked of disingenuous PR cleanup. Andy and Paul are the best.
Well, I appreciate that, but I agree. I didn't know anything about that diehard Packers thing. But
I saw that.
That was
an understandable kind of, you know.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I saw it.
But what I'm saying is if he made amends, he made amends because he found out that, you know, people know that he was a douche. You know what I'm saying? He didn't make amends because, you know, he walked through. You know, did you ever do something and you say something and you immediately say to yourself, why did I do that?
Right.
Why did I say that? And you immediately know it was wrong and you wish you could have a do-over.
Right.
I would bet anything I have that's not what happened with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers probably blew this guy off.
You really don't like him.
No, this is not an Aaron Rodgers commentary, this particular part of it, as it is anybody. I think Brady would be just as apt to do it as anybody else. I think you blew a guy off, and then you found out later, wow, he had cancer?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't I do a bit? Because it's image rehab.
Well, it's
right
also
away.
You feel bad if you know.
I think the bigger issue
really?
Is me. It's about me.
Oh.
I got to make myself look better.
Okay.
I didn't mean to blow the guy off.
Okay.
And it was just something, you know, the stuff that we said yesterday, I want to maintain. I think this guy's a terrific player. And he's playing quarterback at a level right now that is far and away the best in football. Would you agree? Did you see some of his games, some of his numbers? It's just incredible what he's doing. He, I mean, he doesn't even throw incomplete passes.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 passes the other night.
No, he is so precise, it's unbelievable.
That offense right now is something special.
And you could say, oh, he's just doing, you know, a form of West Coast, which a little bit it is. But,
yeah, of course it is. But he has no running game and no offensive line either. They don't protect him well, and they don't really run the ball well.
But I also see him throwing, you know, 20-yard down
the
scene.
Oh, no, it's not Steve Young.
It's not dink and dunk.
It's not Steve Young where every pass is at the line of scrimmage.
Right. So he's precise wherever he throws the ball. I mean, he goes downfield to Jennings, and, you know, and Jennings are great, bails him out sometimes.
And I do get it. I get that he sat around that room, and much like Tom when he talks about being a sixth-round pick and how that bothered him. And I get that, and that's understandable. But Tom doesn't tell us about it every day. You know what I mean? Tom doesn't tell us in the press conference before every game, oh, we're playing Kansas City this week. That's another team that didn't draft me. You know what I mean? I just, enough. Okay, they screwed up. You should have been taken number one.
Well, he doesn't have to. NFL Films did a documentary on it.
The Tom thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I'm only kidding.
See, this is what happens. Now, like in 10 minutes, you say anything but Patriots.com. I'm telling you, Tom doesn't beat us over the head.
Of course he does.
With that.
He's
but you know, he's just like Aaron Rodgers, where it does burn inside him that he was a sixth round pick still. But he doesn't have to tell us about it every day. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers seems like every game it's the same thing when you see the national pregame shows.
Is he married?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen, I have the utmost respect for the player. I just don't like the way he carries himself. And I said that to you. You guys laughed at me last year after the NFC Championship game. I said I didn't care for Aaron Rodgers' comportment in that game. I just didn't.
Olger from Barcelona says, so I came up early today, eager to hear you guys. I tune in to the live stream from Patriots.com, and I find myself listening to the media room. I think it was Eric flirting with a girl. I kept listening, assuming eventually the show would start, and to my surprise, I heard Tyler Palko's conference call. I was wondering why PFW and Progress would be delayed in order to listen to the opposing team quarterback. By the way, Palko sounded happy with the opportunity, but he knows he has no chance of winning this game. Olga, you're probably on the wrong stream. Probably you want to close out Patriots.com, get back on, and hitch on with the correct live stream. There's probably two live streams going on right now because there's a lot. This is Wednesday. It's pizza. There's a lot going on here at Gillette Stadium. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to it. Dan and Harriet's on the line. Hey, Dan.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, Dan.
So, you guys talking about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's got a little bit of that air around him, but, I mean, I don't think anybody's playing better at the quarterback position.
Oh, no, and that's why I wanted to say that, you know, adamantly. He's played at an unbelievable level. I have the utmost respect for the player, and I don't hate the guy. I just think he comes off as a little arrogant, and I'm a little tired of the whole, you know, oh, woe was me. I was the 25th pick of the draft instead of one or whatever.
Wasn't he like 26?
Whatever, 25th, 26th.
25, 26. I mean, he's still young, but...
You know, let's put it this way. If the worst thing that ever happens to the guy in his life is he was taken 25 spots later than he should have been, he's probably going to have a pretty good life.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff I said with Brady. You know, if the worst thing that happens to him is he ends up being a sixth-round pick instead of a first-round pick, then he can consider himself pretty fortunate.
Yeah, definitely. But looking ahead at these next couple of games, I don't know if you can take much from these games at all unless, like, there's total domination by the Patriots and all of them, because they're all games that they should win.
Yeah, I agree. Even if it's total domination, I kind of agree with your point. Now, you know, you're playing all backup quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I mean,
so
like
what's the number one problem with the Patriots right now? The number one thing that you fear against a good team? Pass defense, right? Well, you're playing a backup quarterback in Palko this week. Maybe a backup quarterback in Philadelphia next week if Michael Vick can't play. A backup quarterback in Curtis Painter, a backup quarterback in Matt Moore, maybe a backup quarterback in John Beck in Washington if he plays. They're playing nothing but backups.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know how much you can even learn from this Jets game. I mean, really the biggest thing I learned from, especially from a defensive standpoint, is that they definitely have much more heart than they did in last year or even definitely even 2009. But, I mean, I think we needed to, you know, take a look back at the Jets and ask ourselves, you know, how much better is that team than the last time we played them, except for the fact that they were winning more.
Oh, you mean the Jets themselves?
Yeah, because
so you, in other words, you're saying how much of it was the, what the Patriots did, and how much of it was the Jets just not playing
well?
It seemed
like their offense had come around. It seemed
Yeah, but that Jets team, they still look like they don't know what they want to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, they came out gunning, you know.
Yep.
Like,
and they went right down the field.
They should. Yeah.
And then they stopped.
As soon as it stopped working, they went back to forcing the run when it obviously wasn't going to work.
Well, the run worked fine, but I don't think they mixed the same kind of throws in. I mean, they ran the ball effectively. They had 110 yards rushing.
Is Schottenheimer,
and they didn't run the ball in the fourth quarter.
Is Schottenheimer getting any criticism?
I mean, it just didn't feel that way.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, Dan. I think that they still don't. I agree with your larger point. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know what they want to be.
And
they had chances to score early and didn't, and that seemed to, like, knock them. Like, that's an offense to me. It's fragile. Like, when things are going well, they get it rolling, and then they continue to keep it rolling. And then when
they hit a bump,
you know, Santonio Holmes falls down unimpeded at the 10-yard line, and they miss a 24-yard field goal, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, well, here we go again.
Yeah,
well, they're a reflection of their coach. Too high, too low. They're
I agree.
You know?
I agree.
Sanchez, in my opinion, I think played about as bad as you can play the quarterback position on that day.
I agree.
I mean, people are trying to say,
you see Flacco
Rodney
earlier
Bridges
this year?
Yeah.
He wasn't that bad.
Well, I saw a game where he was worse.
He wasn't as bad as Mark Sanchez was the other night.
I mean, I heard some people saying that now they think Rob Ninkovich is some sort of playmaker. I mean, he's got 4 interceptions, I think, in the past 2 seasons. The quarterbacks that threw those picks to him are Chad Henne and Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, I just asked Ninkovich in the locker room why he gets 2 picks in night games. He started laughing at me.
Because of the quarterback, I think. I think only one of those 4 passes wasn't thrown right to him. I mean,
that was
thrown right to him.
Yeah, but the picks, that was a good play, though. I mean, he was thrown to him because Sanchez didn't know he was there. That was a good play.
Credit.
That was a good play by Ninkovich, the second
one. He had to make it. I still think it was thrown right to him, but,
he undercut the pass, and Sanchez didn't see him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Gerard Mayo doesn't make that play.
Let's put it this way. If Ninkovich wasn't there, the pass would have been a perfect pass to the receiver. Ninkovich saw it coming and cut right in front of him.
Yeah, he was out on the tight end, Keller, with him and White, and White actually jammed Keller off his feet, and Ninkovich read Sanchez's eyes and drifted over to LT.
That was a good play. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than Gerard Mayo's done as far as picking off passes.
Oh, that's true.
But I think it was you, Paul, that said that, you know, how much Mark Anderson has done for this team, like, especially, you know, opening things up for Andre Carter. Doesn't that just reinforce what we've been saying about the Patriots' personnel decisions? As far as, you know, not taking guys because they can't maybe defend the run well. I mean, look how much a pass rusher does for your team.
Yeah, find guys that can do something and find ways to use them. Is that what your point is?
Yeah, I mean, look, Andre Carter, what is he, 32? I mean, you watch that game he had, and, like, why can't we take a young version of Andre Carter?
Right. Yeah, no, it's a fair point, and I'm really going to be curious to see how Bill goes about his business the next year or two and see if he continues this sort of reluctance to invest in those kinds of players. Because I think you need to have that. If you're going to survive in the NFL nowadays, you need to have someone who needs to be accounted for in the pass rush. And right now the Patriots don't have that guy.
I don't know if you guys heard the pregame show, like on the Hub, when Jonathan Kraft was talking to Andy Gresh and the boys there. But he said something that absolutely infuriated me when he said it. He said that we're seeing one of the highest percentages of rookie linebackers making plays and getting snap counts in the NFL as we've seen in a long time. And I just wanted to go, and why can't you take any of those players? It was infuriating.
So but he wasn't talking about the Patriots, obviously. He was talking about league-wide.
Across the NFL.
Repeat that again. League-wide, we're seeing more rookie.
We're seeing one of the highest percentages of rookie linebackers getting snaps and making plays that we've seen in a long time.
And what was that in response to? Like, what was his point?
I don't exactly remember the question, because I think I was actually tuning into it right around that time, but I think it was something about just a league-wide perception of, you know, rookies getting starts and how much impact. And maybe some of it is related to injuries, but
I don't know. I'd need to know the context of that to see what was going on.
It just struck me as just so contradictory to what they've been doing personnel-wise. It strikes me as like this little kid mentality where like, oh, I don't want that. That's stupid. And then everybody else has. And he's like, oh, now I want this.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, but I mean,
don't blame Jonathan Kraft for not taking linebacker. That's not his call.
Well, yeah, I mean, I understand that, but it seems like, I don't know, maybe
it was a dig at Bill Belichick. I don't know.
A little dissension.
I don't know. I mean, I have to know the context and what was the question and what was the conversation about. Why did he offer that up, you know?
Yeah, I wish I could give that to you, but like I said, I was just tuning into it. But, I mean, I don't know. Anything less, I mean, they could obviously run the table in these next couple of games, but I only see one game that's even like potentially problematic for them. And I don't know if you learn anything about what they can do in the playoffs unless they completely dominate, you know, across the board. But that's all I got, guys. So
okay.
You guys have a good day.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, say hello Dan. To Harriet for us. Brian in New York writes in, hey, guys, I'm a longtime listener to all the radio shows on Patriots.com and a first-time emailer. Just want to add one more thing besides all the obvious to the big win over New York frauds. I have not heard about the comment Fatty Rexy made before this season started about we need someone else to step up and beat New England like we do, basically challenging other teams to step up and try to beat us. What a freaking joke. I thought of that stupid comment while watching him sulking and just about to break down crying on the sideline while we were up wiping their asses all over the field. Really, Rex? Asking other teams to step up? How about coaching your own team good enough to win a game? What a joke he is. Listen, I'm all for what he brings to the game, but his mouth is going to get him fired eventually. Go Pats all the way to the bowl. Love you guys and keep up the awesome work. You know, he did it again yesterday, and I know that he was joking around. This is Rex Ryan I'm talking about. I know he was joking around, but, you know, why does he have to say things like, you know, Darrell Revis is playing because if he isn't, I'm not making the trip. I mean,
yeah.
I understand it's a joke, but there's a lot of other guys on the team besides Darrell Revis.
Yeah, that one doesn't bother me at all because I know it's totally a joke.
I know, but why would he say that, though?
Because he's just trying to be funny.
I know, but I bet you there's at least one guy.
I'm far more annoyed if I'm a Jet with some of the other things that, you know, him saying, well, that's what you get when you have, you know, elite quarterback play.
Right.
Or something like that. Talking about Brady.
But I'll bet you there's one guy in that defense that's heard that and go, what the hell, man? You know?
Well, you know what those guys in defense should do?
Well, play better.
Raise their level of play.
Oh, sure. I get
so
it.
So that way he might say, Calvin Pace doesn't make the trip. I'm not going to.
Why offer anything that can be misinterpreted like that?
I think that he knows. I think he has enough lines of communication with his players that they know that what he thinks of them. Do you know what I'm saying? I think he's making Joe. I think he, you know, you want to make the argument maybe you should tone it down and be a little bit more, excuse me, a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
I can live with that. You know, I heard on WEEI yesterday, I was driving home, and one of the producers of the big show, Andy, not Andy Hart, Andy who produces the big show, they were talking about Rex Ryan. They were making fun of him, and they were playing a clip that he said or something about something funny or whatever. And everybody was laughing, and they're like, oh, you know, Rex, he really is something else. And Andy chimed in, and he goes, you know, he goes, I would probably love him if he coached any other team, but I just can't do it when he's coaching he's coaching the Jets, and I just can't.
Right.
I think that speaks to probably the way a vast majority of Patriots fans feel.
Sure.
If he was the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
right.
You know, you'd probably think, this guy is hilarious. I love this guy. I love his approach. But he's coaching the team that you hate
also,
the most.
A lot of his comments are directed at the Patriots.
Well, yeah,
you know.
But those are funny. I mean, like I think that was a very funny line about, you know, if someone else could beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, the guy's right. The email is right. You know, it blew up in his face because
if
they had beaten the Patriots, they'd be winning the division.
Bob writes in 5 questions for the experts. 1, what is more likely to happen? Matt Leinart takes the Houston Texans to the playoffs, or the Texans not making the playoffs?
Texans will make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they will, too. Who else is going to win that division?
Tennessee, maybe.
Yeah.
Tennessee's only a game behind them.
I know. That's true. What is more likely to happen? The Broncos 4-5 making the playoffs if they beat the Jets tomorrow, or the Jets 5-4 missing the playoffs if they lose to the Broncos tomorrow? I think the Jets...
More likely to happen?
If the Jets go 5-5, I mean, the AFC North has three teams that are all vying for playoff position.
Right.
And if the Jets fall to 5-5, they won't get a wild card.
I still
if the
think
season ended today.
No, but yeah. I still think they'll make the playoffs.
Who is more likely to finish with a higher passing rating for the season, Tim Tebow or Phillip Rivers? Currently
Rivers.
81.6 for Tebow and 80.2 for Rivers.
Rivers. I just can't imagine he plays 16 bad games. I just can't imagine that.
Well,
whereas I know that Tebow is playing as well as he can play right now,
but
completing 10% of his passes.
Yeah, but 80.2 isn't like god-awful.
No.
I mean, you can win.
It's mediocre.
Right, so Rivers could stay that way and Tebow could still beat him.
Yeah, I'm saying Rivers can't stay that way.
Okay.
You know, if he does, he does. I just can't imagine he plays pathetic football for 16 games.
What is more likely to happen, Wes Welker beating Jerry Rice's single-season yards total this year or Aaron Rodgers beating Tom Brady's TD mark of 50 TDs?
How many touchdown passes does Rodgers have?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'll look
the
it up.
To that.
I would say it's more likely that Welker beats the yardage because I don't think that Rodgers is on pace to beat Brady's mark,
yeah.
But I don't know that for sure.
And finally, what is Brady's most incredible record? Never losing a game at home when leading after the half or third quarter? Or
28 touchdowns for Rodgers.
So he is on pace.
Right?
Seven to go?
Close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is Brady's never losing a game at home when leading after the half or third quarter, or never to have lost three straight regular season games since 2002? I would say the first one because he has lost three straight. So, you know, since 2002 was kind of a qualifier, but he has never lost a game when leading after the half or third quarter.
That okay, that's fine. I like your reasoning, but I'm not into SID stats. Those kinds of, the touchdown pass record that Brady has, that to me, that's something no one ever has, you know what I mean?
Right, the 50
touchdowns. Those kinds of things
that
are, I think that's a much bigger accomplishment than
streaks.
You know, winning streak, fine.
Yeah. You can almost, like, if you're good, make a streak about anything.
Just as a point of example, you know, you hear a lot of people talk about Green Bay's defense isn't any good. Do you know Green Bay hasn't been trailing in the fourth quarter of a single game all year? They have not been trailing in the fourth quarter of a single game all season.
No, they're running roughshod on the league.
Now, I don't know. That to me, that's like a factoid. That's an SID stat. I'm not, who cares? You know, I think people think that I downplay some of the Patriots' accomplishments, but I don't downplay Wes Welker breaking Jerry Rice's record. I think that's going to happen, and that's amazing.
Brian writes in from Baltimore. Since Andy is out, I'm going to take over the role of devil's advocate and say, Fred, I love you, but you're being delusional about KC tanking for luck. Yes, he may be the prize player in this year's draft, and they are dying for a quarterback, but the Chiefs are 4-5 and one game out of the division lead in the AFC West. That fact alone means they'll be going hard. Yeah, but now things are different. Anyway, even if Castle was healthy, I don't see a loss this weekend for the Pats, but Fred, to intimate that they would tank is pretty absurd. You're better than that. We all know anything can happen in this league. St. Louis beat New Orleans. Seattle beat the Giants and Ravens. I would hate fans to sleep on KC and not think that any given Sunday we could get beat, especially with our defense. But although I think you're nuts, to say that I would tank, I can agree with the thought. It's always nice to think a team will lay down for you just because you are awesome and the other team sucks. So with all that said, I see the Pats winning 35-13.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to lay down for the Patriots because they're the Patriots. I think they don't have any talent.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to lay down. I just think they're going to be outgunned.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Larry from Miami's on the line. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Nothing. How you doing?
Good, good. Could feel a little better. You know, I was on suicide watch, but...
Things are good now, right?
Well, it's all right. I like the win, but it says more about the Jets than it was about the Patriots, really. I feel that way because I'm still not feeling confident going into the playoffs. So,
okay.
Yeah, so, you know what? There's no way that's going to change until the playoffs get here, though, Larry.
But aren't we saying that we're afraid of Baltimore and Pittsburgh?
I'd be afraid of a lot of teams.
In the AFC?
Absolutely. The only division I'm not afraid of is the West.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
You're including Houston.
I'm including the Jets. Okay. I don't want to play those teams in the playoffs.
We'll get them figured out.
Okay.
We've got them figured
all
out.
All right. Well, I think Larry has a little
trepidation. I mean, it's hard to beat any team three times
that
in the same season.
That has nothing to do with why I'd be afraid of them. I think that's easy if you're better.
They're going to get worse as the season goes on.
Well, we'll see about that. But
well, then you wouldn't have to worry about it then.
Andy's
if they're
not
get worse.
Here, right?
What? Andy is not here, Larry.
Yeah, I was going to say he was kind of right. You know, I ain't trying to blow up his head already, but he was kind of right, you know, putting Mark Anderson in, you know, on downs, and it really helped with the pass rush. And that was a really good game.
Well, I think that game against the Jets, and, you know, I'll give myself a little credit because on the blog before the game started, I said this game will all be all about pressure up front because, you know, I was looking at the back end and I said they don't have it. If they don't get pressure, they're screwed. So I said this is all about pressure up front. And I think Belichick and Matt Patricia must have agreed because, you know, they had in Mark Anderson in times where they usually didn't have him.
And they're going to need the defensive line to play good football to protect that back
for the
seven.
Rest of the season.
Yes, to protect that
yes,
back seven.
Absolutely. So, you know, look for more Mark Anderson.
Yeah, I'd rather teams to run on me because that's a plus for me because
right, because we'll stiffen up in the red zone.
And
yep,
he wasn't playing well on the first end, so
yep.
So it was just crazy. But yeah. I was just chiming in on that, and I just came from the supermarket looking for women to argue with.
Well, Paul will help you. Right. You have to go to Peabody for that.
That's first of all, all right, Larry, it was Babies R Us. Get the story correct.
All right, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Next up is the most interesting Patriots fan in the world calling from his Olympic-size bathtub.
Let me tell you something, Fred.
Yeah?
Did you get a shot of that photo?
No.
I no longer feel guilty about accepting lunch on Tuesdays.
James, what's going on? What's all this? I didn't get a shot of this photo.
Yeah, well, it's on Facebook now, unfortunately, so if you want to see me naked in a bath, just go to Facebook.
Well, you know, I am one to go look for men's junk on the internet.
I know you are.
Yeah.
You'll be slightly disappointed. It was a little more of a discreet shot. A bit more tasteful, Fred, something you'd like.
It was quite impressive. Not you.
Anyway, so it was a good victory, I thought. I don't think I'm as high as everyone, but then again, I wasn't as low as everyone over the last week. It's just going to be, I think we're not going to get too much challenges towards the rest of the season.
Right.
And I think I actually quite like a few tougher games, just to get the defense a little more practice and things like that. I'm worried now they're going to flatter to deceive over the next couple of games, and then it's all going to go wrong in the playoffs.
Well, the Eagles' defense could pose some problems. You know,
yeah, I mean, I know, but it's just
played
I
so
think,
badly.
I, you know, it's one of those things. Hopefully, you know, a lot of things depend on confidence. So hopefully, these next few games, we can, you know, play really well, and the defense will get a lot more confident. And hopefully, that's what was missing from McCourty's game. Although, is he? When is there any news on him? I haven't been up to date with him.
No news. Just the reports here are that he separated his shoulder, and there's no timetable for a return. But we don't know if that's confirmed. We don't know if that, you know, what, you know, Eric will be by later to tell us that he wasn't out of practice.
Did I catch Bill yesterday? It was either yesterday or Monday, kind of, you know, obviously he didn't give any timetable on McCourty, but seeming a little optimistic about it.
He said no. Any update on McCourty? No.
No, but there was another one where, you know, he's doing okay or something.
I didn't see that.
It might have been on EEI or.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I just got a sense that he'll be back, you know?
Oh, yeah. I think he's out for the year. Is that what you mean?
No, well, within the next...
I think he's going to miss a game or two. I don't think he's out for the year.
Okay. All right.
But I definitely think he's someone who could benefit from having a few easy layout defensive games to get his confidence going and things like that. So, hopefully, you know, it'll be good in that respect. And I don't think, to be honest, Kansas could bring their A game, and I think they'll still probably lose without a quarterback. So, I don't necessarily think they're going to have to tank.
Yeah, and I agree with you, James. I think that these games offer the defense a chance to get some confidence because they're playing a steady stream of offenses with backup quarterbacks that don't have the ability to
pressure
them. Let's
just hope it's not false confidence, though. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the big problem. I think that might be, let's say we win, you know, even if we win out the season, I still am a little worried when it comes to playoffs.
Sure, eh? You know,
we'll see.
We've been traumatized over the last two seasons, so, you know, it's understandable.
Oh, yeah, one more thing, Paul. I was driving into the Bruins game yesterday, and Ferber was pumping you up as a guest this evening like something else. I almost had to pull over. It was amazing. He said it was like the second coming of Jesus.
Well, I mean, he's right. Actually, yeah, I leave here in about an hour to go do that.
Well, see,
very good. I will be listening with
good Bruins game last night.
See, the reason why Felker is doing that is because the highest rated single show on that network last week was PFW.
Mm-hmm.
So
really,
oh yes,
there
you go. Yes, absolutely. We actually had a very, very high rating last week. I don't know what that was.
I watched it 15 times, so I probably can't just release.
Are you a Nielsen family?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I would. I'm.
You are?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, I was going to say, I've never ever heard of anybody who was a Nielsen
fan. I've never met anyone who's a Nielsen fan.
Never.
No. I think it's just a big ruse, but there we go.
I think it is, too. So.
All right, guys, take it easy.
All right, James.
Hopefully the rest of the season will win out.
James. Right, don't stay in the tub too long. You'll end up like a prune.
James, great bathroom.
All right.
Thanks very much.
All right. James from his Olympic-sized tub.
You need to see the bathroom.
Really?
It's just unbelievable.
It's like all marble and TVs and all that.
He has a flat-screen TV on the wall, you know, so he's in the tub and he's looking up, watching. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, someday I'm going to have that.
I'm not, because I'm never going to have that kind of tub.
No, I'm just going to finish up.
Especially not the way you pay me.
I'm going to finish up the top floor and put in a nice big Whirlpool tub with a TV.
All right.
Yeah. That's living.
That's living right there, Kevin.
You don't know how many nights I say, oh, man, I could use a jacuzzi.
I do have a tub that has the jacuzzi.
Oh, you do?
Jets.
Well, I figured you would.
But I don't have a flat-screen TV.
He's upper echelon, Fred.
Yeah.
The Jets.
Yeah. Let's see.
You know, when I grew up, I had a fart in the bathtub. Remember Eddie Murphy in Trading Places?
Right.
I wasn't even allowed to use the bathtub, Paul.
That's all right.
Well, lucky for you, you never can bathe because you're always here working.
No, when I started to head to work at 4 in the morning, my dad made me shower outside.
That's right. You don't want to wake everybody up. All right. Let's stick to the phones. Pratt in Maryland is on the line. Hey, Pratt.
Hey, Fred. How's it going?
Great.
Hey, Pratt.
Hey, Paul. It was a great game. Me and my wife were at the edge of our seat in that first half, hoping that, you know, we'd get on, get out to a fast start, but it came in the second half, so that was very gratifying. And I think we can really make something good out of the rest of the season. So,
well, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I had a question though. I just got news that Jared Page has been released from the Eagles.
Yes.
Correct.
So have you guys already discussed this?
We did.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense to bring him back.
We need to know the circumstances by which he was released, you know, why he was released. But if everything is, well, it was a numbers game or whatever, I'd say, yeah, absolutely sign him.
Right.
He wasn't playing well. He was starting earlier in the year, and he lost his job. But I would bring him back because I think he's better than the safeties you have on the roster except for Chung.
But, you know, he might not have been playing well because of the system. You know, there could be a lot of reasons, you know.
Right, and that's what I was going to ask you guys is, do you think it was the Eagles system because of which he wasn't really playing that well?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know the answer to
that. I have no idea. I just know that last year when he played in this system, when he was healthy, he made some contributions, and I would bring him back.
All right.
I like
him. My last thing is I picked up the Patriots defense in my fantasy league to play, hopefully to hold on for the rest of the season because looking at the opponents we have.
I think that's not a bad, look at the points given up. They've been hanging in the low 20s and in the case of the Jets in the teens. So
right.
I think that's a good pickup.
Thank you, guys, and let's look forward to a great second half of the season. Thank you.
All right, Pratt. Pratt in Maryland writing in, or calling in, I should say. All right, it's 12:59. That means it's time for the 12:59 break. We'll be right back. A lot of emails. We'll get right to them after this.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
No props! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hotter iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Thanks for hanging with us on a Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398. We've already been jammed up on the phones, so let's get to some emails. Gene in Daytona writes in, does it concern you that our team plays its best when our guys have their backs to the wall and everyone has them counted out? I predict we will end up the top seed in the AFC and play Oakland and then Pittsburgh. I'm not worried about a Super Bowl against Green Bay or San Francisco because, like 2001, no one will be giving us a chance. As far as I can remember, the only Super Bowl and playoffs we have lost under Bill and Tom were the ones we were favored. And, Fred, I know you're just trying to help Eric out by telling him he should try the steak, but you should know by now that Eric does not take your suggestions as a suggestion but as an order, because you're his boss and you guys were on travel together. I have made the mistake on travel myself and not realized my suggestion was being taken to an employee as an order. I think Eric is so sensitive. If I were Eric next time, I would eat whatever steak you suggest and be thankful at what you have done for him and his career. I kind of agree with that.
Sure.
But also, when it comes to steak, I think I know what I'm talking about. And you look at him, you know he doesn't.
Well, I would say that. That's accurate.
Right.
I think if I had to ask one of the two of you suggestions on steaks,
yeah,
you know, it's not going to be the 150-pound guy. It's going to be you.
Who looks more healthy, the guy walking out of the tofu place that's 125 pounds with a runny nose or the guy walking out of a steakhouse?
Right. I'll go with the guy going out of the steakhouse.
That's right.
But did he just say that the only Super Bowls the Patriots lost? I mean, they were favored in all the Super Bowls except for the Rams.
Is that right? Well, yeah, they were favored against the Panthers.
Absolutely. Right? They were like a touchdown favorite.
Yeah, that's true.
And they were a favorite against Philadelphia. They were favored in all three, the last three Super Bowls they appeared in, they were favored in.
Right.
Substantial favorites.
Yeah.
The Rams were their heavy favorite in the first one, obviously.
Let's see. Travis in Tennessee, it was nice to see the win, and Brady spreading the ball to everyone. I think this is a good sign for the future. Three things. A caller yesterday complained about Rodney Harrison picking the Jets. After Tony picked, Rodney's prologue to that was, oh, Tony Dungy, every time Tony and I pick the same team, we're wrong. So with that, I'm going with the Jets. Basically, superstitiously picking the Pats is how I interpreted it. I missed halftime show, but as for picking them at halftime, probably didn't want to jinx anything. Second, with all the ball security issues of the last few games prior to the Jets, is Gronk ever going to keep the ball tucked in and protected? I know there wasn't any turnovers, but he's got a first down and fighting for an extra yard with the ball 3 feet flailing in front of him look, and he's looking back at the defender just begging for someone to take the ball. Maybe his situational awareness of people around him is better than I give him credit for. But if you're playing the Steelers again, that's most likely a turnover. I have seen that. He's been out there with the ball, kind of doing things with it and, you know, holding it with one hand, trying to get that extra yard. And
I haven't really noticed his being, loose with the football. But, you know, and I certainly wouldn't consider that play that he lost the ball on the
No, hit. That wasn't. He his elbow hit and it came out.
But that's something I'm going to keep in mind. Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on that a little bit because I do think Hernandez at times can be loose with the football. I think he holds it away from his body a lot. So evidently you and the emailer have seen that with Gronk, too.
Well, one of the things about Gronk, though, is his hands are so freaking huge.
Yeah, but I don't care how big your hand is.
I know.
You hold it like
True.
That, you're going to lose it.
But, you know, I think he feels confident holding out in front. I've seen him switch hands. It's scary.
That's a fair point. I'm going to keep closer attention on that.
It's scary. Lastly, with the depleted secondary and lack of overall talent and experience, do you think we'll see Edelman getting more time on defense, especially since they barely use him on offense and the rest of the schedule might assist in his development?
Yeah, maybe. It all depends. If Bill's in a mood to kind of show off his new toys. To me, that's not anything. I don't really think a whole lot of that.
Okay.
You know, it's funny, though. He did hurt LT on that play, you know. LT sprained his MCL on that tackle. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
out.
He might not play, yeah.
No, I heard the Jets said he's not going to play.
Yeah, so that's that was funny.
Yeah.
That the one play that he's out there, he makes a good tackle and ends up hurting LT.
Let's see. The Fuller family writes in. Thanks for the zealous cheering yesterday. Made me feel good until Andy showed up and wrecked it.
Didn't he? Didn't he just bring everything down?
He just came in. He was all...
You know, you lumped me together with him, and I really don't like that. Because that's not an accurate portrayal.
He came in and, you know, just interrupted everybody. Just wouldn't let anyone get a word in edgewise. It's very annoying. Anyway, The Fuller family says, I have a question about false starts. I remember when flags used to fly when the QB bobbed his head too vigorously. Now QBs set the line, pump their leg, make a hard snap count while lurching forward. The linemen break stance to look at each other. They reset the line. A guard taps the center. I don't know what a false start is anymore. San Francisco runs a play where the tight end lurches backwards on a hard count when the wide receiver jumps forward. When the defender jumps, it is either called encroachment or simulating the snap seemingly at random. Yeah, there is a lot of stuff that's allowed on that offensive line now. But
well, the one I don't like, and I understand they corrected an inequity in the rules, but it's when a defensive player jumps and he's allowed to get back, and then the mirror player on the offensive line engages because he's forced to.
Right.
And they changed that. That used to not be fair, I used to think. You get a pass rusher who takes that step, and he's in the neutral zone, and the tackle gets up to try to block him, and they used to call that a false start because the defensive player, in theory, had an opportunity to get back.
Get back, right.
So as long as the ball hadn't been snapped, it was always called on the offense. They've changed that now. But I think they've gone too far. Now, a defensive player jumps, and an offensive lineman four people away just gets up. I mean, it's clear that all he's doing is trying to get the penalty. He didn't get affected by the guy moving. They intentionally draw the penalty. I don't think that was the intent of the rule.
But I like
it. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, and I think that's okay.
I don't like it at
all. Don't jump. Don't jump over the line.
But you're allowed to. The defensive player is allowed to move.
They're allowed to move, but you're not but you shouldn't be jumping over the line.
But you're not allowed to be in the neutral zone at the snap.
Right.
So if the ball's not snapped, the defensive player should have the opportunity to get back. They don't. Because
if the lineman,
the tackle on the other side gets up.
Right.
Up. He made me false start. And I know it's impossible to call it because it's impossible to determine intent. Or what, did the guy really get affected by the guy who jumped? It's impossible. But I do like it better that the offense doesn't get called all the time because I didn't think that was fair either.
Nathan writes in, did you guys see Brady and Cromartie after the game?
That was funny.
I rewound the tape three times, and Brady was shaking hands with 31, and I couldn't believe my eyes.
Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
They were like buddies.
Really?
It's almost like they were saying, yeah, that's great the way you keep calling me an a-hole. Yeah, I definitely picked up on that. Andy and I were talking about it.
Huh, interesting.
It was very interesting.
Don writes in from California, would you take Rex on our coaching staff if he got fired? Please let Andy chime in on this. I'd love it. Well, Andy's not here.
I would love to have Rex Ryan as a defensive coordinator. It would never happen. No. There's absolutely no way it would happen, but I would do that in a heartbeat.
Let's see. Paul writes in about Andrew Luck. If you were the Colts and you got Andrew Luck, Peyton is healthy. What do you do? Trade Peyton or have him mentor Luck? If you trade Peyton, what do you want?
I would have him mentor Luck.
I think
Peyton Manning can play two more years.
Yeah, but you know what? If he can play two more years, that means he's healthy. And if he's healthy, his value will never get more than it is now. And I think if you're the Colts, you got to get rid of him.
I wouldn't.
You know, think of what you
just
know.
Like we had the same thing with Brady. I wouldn't have gotten rid of
picks,
Brady.
You wouldn't do it?
Nope.
Really?
No.
Okay.
If he's healthy. If you know he's healthy.
Right.
Now, if you have questions about that, absolutely trade him for two picks.
Yeah, but then you're not going to get two picks because the other team.
The other team might not have those same concerns that you have.
Abe from Detroit says, how many plays was Ocho involved in after the illegal substitution penalty? Apparently the penalty was his fault. He came in and I know Benny was the guy that was supposed to be out of the huddle.
Yeah, I'm not sure that was his fault.
It was either him or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis' fault. I know that.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Fred.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that they went a lot of no huddle late in the second half, and that kind of took Ocho out of it.
And a lot of people were worried that he got hurt, and that's why. But the way Ocho's been tweeting, and he ain't hurt.
He didn't get hurt.
No, he didn't get hurt. So again, I think it's a circumstance thing, and I think. Like Paul said, he's not the guy that you want in there right now when they're hurrying things up.
Yeah, and that's not my observation. I mean, my evaluation, it's my observation. They haven't had him in there in no-huddle situations.
Let's see. Ramon in Texas. Should I be disappointed that Wilfork was unable to stop Sanchez from rushing into the end zone. He's supposedly one of our playmakers, but didn't make that play when he needed to. Yeah, he was engaged with a lineman and may not have had the best opportunity to make the play, but that's what playmakers do. They make plays. I'm sure Nagata and Peppers would have. Well, I'm hoping they would for my argument's sake. I don't know if I'm just disappointed that we don't have playmakers or that our playmakers don't make plays.
I sort of agree. I think that was a play that I'd like to see made.
Well, I think
out of a Pro Bowl player,
Wilfork would have liked to see made that too, because he was pissed and had the stupid penalty after that.
Yeah, he got upset about that, and I think Sanchez may have like sort of run by him in a way that he didn't like afterwards as well. Yeah, I think that's a play that you're looking for out of to use the examples that he, you know, I'll take Peppers out of the equation because totally different player, but Nada, that's what you're Vince is supposed to be like Nada. He's right. Not. That's a play I think you'd expect to have made.
Gene writes in, if we pick up Jarrett Page, do we pick up his present contract or is Philly responsible for it?
Well, if you claimed him off waivers, you'd pick up his present contract, but I don't think you would do that.
You wait until he
He clears waivers, my guess.
Right.
And I don't know exactly the details of the contract, how long it was and all that stuff. Yeah, Philly gave him some money. Not a ton, but they gave him some money. Yeah, I wouldn't take that contract. I would pick him up for the veteran minimum.
Warren in the UK, whoever controls the news on the website and the app can let them know that we don't need to know every time Ross Ventrone is being cut and added to the roster. We can all just assume Monday, Wednesday, and Friday he is cut and the others he is signed, or so it seems.
Yeah. It's I think there's something like 10 roster moves he's been involved with since the start of the season, something like that.
I think he's got the record. He beat Tony Gator.
Yeah. I actually asked Richard Miller that.
Okay, let's go back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Olivier in Virginia. Hey, Olivier.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. I hear a lot of people on the other shows really complaining about you. What do you do on those shows that really pisses people off?
I don't know who's pissed off at me.
Emailers. They're like, oh, no more Olivier. He calls too much.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, okay.
So I will hang up in a few seconds.
All right.
Okay. I wanted to call because I wanted to ask Paul to tell me what he thought about Danny Woodhead's performance to date.
You're not trying to get me involved in that argument again, are you?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Oh, come on. Follow through with it, Olivia. You should have made him do it.
I'm happy about, obviously, our victory on Sunday, but I wanted to get your feedback on the performance of the defense and how we go forward from there, because I thought that they played well. I think they played better against the Giants, but you know, it seems like they are gelling for a bunch of replacement or nobodies. But have you guys seen anything that looks like it's starting to gel, it's starting to make a difference, and that's going to help us moving forward past the postseason?
I think the only thing I could point to is communication might be a little bit better. Now, how that is with Sterling Moore out there, and it just seems like, you know, you're not seeing guys blowing coverages and things like that. So that's encouraging.
To me, the pass rush has made strides, and Fred and I both just talked about this, Olivier. You're going to need that defensive line to sort of step up and perform the way it did on Sunday, because those are really the only proven guys that you have. There's not really a lot of injury up there, and there's not a lot of question marks up there. You have guys that you just need to play to their potential to help out the back seven, because there's so much uncertainty back there, especially now if McCourty's out, Chung is banged up. You have Ahedebo playing. You have Kyle Arrington. You have Sterling Moore in the mix. There's a lot of uncertainty back there, and not to mention the linebackers with Spikes, and Fletcher out of the mix. Gary Guyton was banged up last week. You have to do something to help.
But a lot of people say we don't have the talent, and we saw that. Obviously, we heard that twice when we lost. Do you still think it's the case that we have a talent defect, or do you think that it's just an experience defect that we have that's going to improve as guys get more reps and more experience on the field as they play games?
Well, yeah, but I mean, if that's the case, it's blind luck, don't you think? Because these weren't guys even close to being the top of the depth chart when the season started. So, you know, it's not like, oh, they knew this, you know, from the beginning all these guys needed was experience. You know, you're kind of falling into that if they end up turning out to be Pro Bowlers.
Yeah, I think it's talent. It's a talent problem.
Well, that's what I'm kind of saying.
And it has nothing to – no, I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. I don't think it has anything to do with injuries either. You made a good comment last week. You know, this – right now with McCourty and Chung and Spikes, maybe you could say, well, some injuries are dealing
– not up to them.
In the immediate. In the immediate.
Right.
But this defense, as we know it, to me, suffers from an overall lack of talent. Not a lack of health.
So who do you think that we're going to be suffering against? Because I mean, against the Jets, we know them. We can play. I mean,
any team that can throw the football, I think, is going to give you a real hard time.
I think right now, where everyone's excited because there aren't a lot of good offenses we're playing. If the Bills continue to play decent, they could pose a problem at the end of the year because Fitzgerald.
Again, yeah.
But then you're talking about this late December, January. So, you know, the weather could keep offenses down at that point anyway. So that's the good thing, and it's also the bad thing about the rest of the schedule. Not a lot of good offenses, but not a lot of good tests either. So it's either they win because they should or they lose and the sky's falling. You know?
Yeah, I understand.
So it's going to be tough until you get to the playoffs to really know how good this team is.
Okay, sounds good. Well, thanks for your time. I apologize if I have called too much. What's my quota on a monthly basis?
You can call anytime you want, Olivia. Yeah. Don't listen. Don't let them bring you down.
Yeah, all right.
That's fine. And by the way, you know, I called last week to talk to John and Eric. And Eric, after my call, made some derogatory comments towards me, which I was totally
really
surprised and shocked. Yeah,
you know, so someone that is so sensitive.
He accused me from calling them from the bathroom. I mean, I was like, wow, this is. I understand why you guys hate the guy.
Well,
but I'll give him a second chance.
Right, someone who's so sensitive about everything, you would think that he wouldn't do that. All right, thanks, Olivier. You know, we'll have to talk to Eric about that when he's by later.
He'll be by later.
Yeah. Let's stick with the phone. Another frequent caller to the show, Eldridge from North Carolina, is on the line. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing good.
I'm doing okay. Okay, I'll listen to the last caller, and I got one comment. We do have another offense we got to worry about.
That's
Philadelphia Eagles. We played them after Kansas City.
Well, who's the quarterback of that offense?
That's Vic. They got speed. And they got a running game. Come on now.
If Vic plays, that's a tough game.
Yeah, if he plays.
But he's got two broken ribs. If they go out and lose to the Giants and they're 3-7, you know, you might not see Vic.
Yeah, but they also got the speed, though, and the running.
I agree, but if Vic doesn't play, I don't care. They won't win.
Yeah. Okay. Other question. I heard you say something about we could try to sign Page off of waivers. Safety?
Yeah, well, he got released today, which means he'd have to clear waivers. And if he I don't think the Patriots will claim him. They may, but I don't think they'll claim him off waivers, but they might try to sign him if he clears waivers. So we'll have to see how that works out.
Okay, two more questions, and we'll let you go. I also heard you talking about you and I have Rex Ryan as a defense coordinator.
Right.
Well, we had Capers. What happened to Capers and Belichick? I never could understand that move.
Well, Capers was brought in. He got fired, and he was brought in sort of as a place to sit for a year. I don't know if it was a favor to him, but also remember that was in the middle of the whole Spygate thing. It might have been insurance just in case the league was a lot harsher in its penalty to Belichick. So they'd have a guy with head coaching experience, in Capers that could be a temporary head coach. And, you know, quickly, like the Patriots, I don't think they made any effort to keep him, and he moved on right after that one
year. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what went into that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. And since we got a speedster now, it was Tyshawn Underwood, which I kept talking about for the last couple of weeks. Have y'all seen any sign of him being on the field practicing?
No, he got cut.
He's gone.
He got cut again?
Yeah. He got caught a day after they signed him, I think.
Yeah. Now, I will say, Eldridge, that his stuff is his locker is still intact. So there have been some guys that they've cut, and their lockers are emptied out. His isn't. So maybe they have designs on bringing him back. But he's not going to be a factor.
Okay.
I mean, he's just not. I mean, clearly they don't think that much.
Eldridge,
of him.
You're better off hoping that Randy Moss comes back.
I've been hoping that.
I know you have. That's why I said it.
But y'all been shooting that down, too.
I haven't. I'm back.
Well, Fred's on board.
Yeah, I
because we're going to need somebody to stretch, man. I know I know Ocho had two good plays last Sunday, which I'm happy, which thrilled me. But two plays out of 10 weeks, come on now.
Yeah.
That ain't cutting it. And like I said,
I agree.
When it's playoff time, it's going to be crunch time again, and we ain't got nobody stretching.
I heard Moss is working out with the Lincoln, Rhode Island high school team, and he's ready to come.
Well, I hope that's true.
All right.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks,
Eldridge.
Eldridge calling
a lot
in.
Of calls today, Freddie.
Sure. People are excited.
Should be.
Chad is not excited. He's upset.
Why?
He says, I'm sick and tired of those two goobers, Paul and Andrew. Andrew, he
calls
See,
again,
them.
I keep getting lumped in with Andy.
I hear about passion. That's not passion. That's frenzied harassment. Passion is about guys like me who stay up at 2 in the morning to watch the Patriots. You two PFW punks who are always negative and party poopers. That makes me angry. And here we go again with the 2000 Patriots were the last time this team had a good defense.
2000?
We were 4-12 in 2000, you goons. Bill said it himself. He's rebuilding. So big deal, he's rebuilding.
When did Bill say he was rebuilding?
I don't know. You think
he's
the
never
Jets,
said that.
You think the Jets defense is better? Really?
Yes.
Matt Shorzio, Sean Pupa, Rapati, whatever his name is, you call that a defense? All you do is say how Bill is a disgusting coach and Brady is the worst quarterback
right.
ever. Go cover the Seahawks. I love our team. We beat KC 55-6. No kidding.
You're an embarrassment. Completely making crap up.
Yeah.
If you're gonna come and rip us, there's a lot of things to rip us. At least bring some facts to the table. Bill's never ever used the word "we're in a rebuilding."
No,
that's a word he would never ever use.
He really has never said.
So
that.
Forgetting about what you said about us, you put words in the head coach's mouth that are completely inaccurate.
Rich from Red Bank, New Jersey. I don't get to listen to you guys at work anymore, but I'm working from home today. Great win over a good team on Sunday, but points to ponder.
Points to ponder.
One.
Christian
since,
ponder?
Since I live in the middle of Jets country, I have to say Mark Sanchez is no Eli Manning. The guy has some skill, but I think there is a reason that the coaches don't let him run the game. Two, Brady threw two picks Sunday, but they just weren't caught.
According to Rodney, three in the first half.
Three, we have to wonder what Darrell Revis is going to do Thursday night. He might want to take up knitting. It's true. Although, I'll tell you, Revis is a damn good tackler, too.
He's a good player.
Yeah. So he'll play up along the line and help with the run. Four, I moved recently, and I want to say thanks to Carol Hardy in Circulation.
Wow,
for
that's
getting
a first.
That all squared away, including resending the PFW issues I missed. And five, speaking of that, is there any way we could have the yearbook published after the season? Half the people mentioning it don't play for the Pats. Well, this year we had a little bit of a hiccup with the lockout thing. Usually it comes out right around training camp. So it's coming out, you know, with the training camp roster. But, you know, this is PFW in progress, so sometimes we talk about work.
Sure.
I was thinking, Paul, that we should rethink how we do the yearbook next year.
How so?
I think that people really don't care about finding out about number 80 on the training camp roster, and I think we should really focus on.
Do we do anything about number 80 on
the
roster?
Well, we have a page for everybody.
No,
pretty much.
We don't.
Well, okay.
But we have a page for veterans.
Yeah, but everybody, you know, even first-year players, we have pages.
Yeah, but that's one page for rookies. And the first-year players have their little headshots.
Yeah.
Rookie free agents, and that's all.
But even guys that
it's
have
one, page.
One year, we give them a whole page.
Well, like Devin McCourty?
No. So he was a high draft pick. But I think,
right.
I
that's
think,
that's the only guys think, that get pages.
But I think we have to rethink about what a yearbook is. You know, it's more of a memorabilia type of thing. It's not really a media guide. So I think, and you know,
well,
fans,
that's why we don't put bios.
Fans
in for the
can
players.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they really want to see the star players in there, and I think we should focus on that.
I don't understand what you're saying. I think that's exactly what we do for the yearbook. But real important here. Dane Fletcher, Brandon Spikes, Devin McCourty, not spotted at practice.
Okay.
All so right. No surprises among those
no
three.
No surprises. Let's see. Going on. So anyway, we're going to talk about the yearbook. Six, speaking of that, it's Wednesday, and I got my PFW this week. That's a record. That's good. And seven, what is the rule about offensive players moving before the snap? I see the centers who already have the hands on the ball turning around to communicate, and yet others have a twitch, and it's a penalty. Well, we talked about that earlier.
That according to Mike Reese, by the way. I should credit that practice
okay.
update.
Eric didn't tweet yet?
He may have, but I saw Mike Reese.
Oh. Eric changed his avatar. Did you see that? It used to be Pat Patriot. Now it's him.
Yeah, I did.
No, but I think that's good. I think it's good to have your picture there rather than, you know, something else. Because it's who you are.
You want to identify.
Right.
People to identify with what they're seeing.
So he made that decision, I think, yesterday or the day before.
Okay.
To do that.
Good update.
Eight. The Pats don't play well against new QBs. Any concern this week?
I agree with that notion. Guys that Belichick's not familiar with, but you kind of have to be able to throw the ball. And I'm not sure that these guys can throw the ball.
Right.
Palko, Painter, John Beck. Matt Moore might be an intriguing guy, although they did see him, if you recall, back in 09 with Carolina. Do you remember that game, Fred? That was the Randy Moss quit game.
Right, right.
Here at Gillette Stadium, Moore played for the Panthers. And actually, Carolina had a lead in the second half of that game, and they ended up losing. But Matt Moore played that day.
Let's see. Connor from Ireland writes, I think he's from, yeah. He says, does Pratt know, Pratt who called up from Maryland.
From Maryland, yeah. Correct.
Does he know that his name is a curse word over here in the UK and Ireland?
I did not know that, and I'm not sure he does.
What did he name his son, Bollocks?
I suppose that's another one.
I guess so.
Wow.
What does Pratt mean in the UK?
Don't know. Evidently, it's not something good.
I liked her, so I prat her.
Oh.
I don't think that's what it means.
Go prat yourself.
Tiff in Wisconsin.
Tiff! What's up?
Yeah, she's been quiet lately. Angry. No, I get all the emails. Oh. She's had some angry emails to the Playbook show.
Oh, really?
And Pete.
How could you be angry with the...
I don't know. She's been...
Oh, you could be angry with the Playbook show because Nitpick Tuesday.
Right. But she Tiff's had a lot of issues lately, being very angry.
Tiff's one of my favorites, so I'm sorry to hear that. I hope she's not too upset.
She says, would we want DeSean Jackson in 2012?
Yeah. I would.
He's incredibly
talented. He's got some issues, but I gravitate toward dynamic playmakers. Yeah, I would like him.
Says it basically means your ass.
Okay.
What, Pratt? Means your ass. What does bollocks mean? I think that's like, oh, hell, right? Or something like that. Or damn, or something like that.
I don't know.
Abe from Detroit also, we were talking before about, what do you got there?
Bollocks is your balls.
Oh, okay.
All right.
So bollocks washing.
I almost made it through the whole show without stopping.
Earlier we were talking about the 12 men in the huddle penalty, and we didn't know if it was whether it's on Ocho or Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
Do we have a definitive answer?
Not definitive, but, well, Abe in Detroit says on TV the announcer said Ocho was supposed to wait until the other player left the huddle. The last time Ocho caused a mental penalty like that, he never got back in the game. But just because the announcer said that doesn't mean it's...
It makes sense.
It could. But you were watching TV. Did you hear them?
I don't remember them specifically on that play.
Ross from Glasgow, according to the figures I've seen, Page's contract was for $735,000, including a $50,000 signing bonus. It was a one-year deal, and based on those figures, I think he's worth it. Why wait? He's definitely better than everyone except Chung. It was more than
that. If that's all he got, I don't think that's right. But if that's all he got, then they could claim. That sounds like the minimum. So just claim him off.
How long has he been in the year? Because that's not even a full minimum.
Well, I know he's
not that
old.
Okay.
He's only like a fourth or fifth year player.
Let's see. Ken Walter.
I know that I think he might be a fourth year guy because the Patriots actually, or he might be a fifth year guy. They actually tendered him under the old CBA when he could have been a restricted free agent. So he must be a fifth year guy.
Okay.
And I want to say the Patriots tendered him at a second round level. Do you remember, like, before the lockout,
teams
did their franchise tender offers to guys, even if they were only in their, third, fourth, fifth, sixth year, that whole thing, because they were operating under the premise that the old CBA...
You have to touch both pieces before you take the pizza? Touch the one you're going to take. Don't touch both.
I like how it's so cold in here that he has to wear a jacket, and I don't blame him. It's freezing. Have you been, like, in his area?
Yeah,
it's freezing
it's
down here.
The guys in ESPN have hoods on.
Why we don't have any heat down here?
I don't know. It just doesn't get down.
Can you get on that?
Heat rises. It leaves up.
Can you get on that? We need some heat. It's going to get cold.
Your pretty comfortable.
It's not that comfortable. My hands are freezing.
No, I'm fine. I'm very comfortable.
I think the actual studio where you sit is pretty good.
And then, you know, it's don't forget, it's ridiculously unseasonably warm.
Should I get you a shawl?
Right now in this area. It has been for about a week and a half.
Yes.
It's going to get cold.
I'd rather have it cold in this room than be sweating, though.
You're sweating in here? I'm like, seriously,
no,
my hands are freezing.
I think the studio is comfortable, and this room is cold.
It's definitely cold in your room, but I don't think it's comfortable in here. I think it's cold in here, too. The Page thing.
Yeah.
I want to say that the Patriots tendered him at a second round level, which tells you that they had some interest in him. So if that's all he signed for with the Eagles, I wouldn't wait. I would claim him off waivers.
Well, you never know. We'll have to stay tuned to Patriots.
But maybe Bill didn't like him. Who knows?
If it does happen, you'll read about it last.
And then I'd have to say that
I'm only kidding.
Wow. Well, we can't get the
right. Usually
stuff.
The agents come out. And
yeah, we can't do the agents. I mean, don't call us out like that. That's not right.
Ken Walter writes in. You may remember last year I volunteered to join the Patriots late in the season as the well-known veteran presence in the locker room who was not expected to add anything of value on the field, also known as the Junior Seau role. Well, after watching how you guys stepped it up after Albert Haynesworth got cut, I'm volunteering to fill this new role for the 2011 stretch run. Please let Coach B know that I'm ready and willing to help any way I can, even if it's addition by subtraction. Not addiction.
I was going to say, did it say addiction?
Need an overpaid, non-performing player to make an example of? I'm your man. Want me to show up out of shape? No problem. Want me to give up on plays or roll around on the ground after missing a tackle? Done. Want me to pick a fight with Pepper? I guess so.
Okay, I don't know if you want that one. That's one you might want to rethink.
I think week 16 would be a good time to cut me. That way I'd be around long enough for it to have an impact, but not so long that my teammates would be devastated by my departure. I've been told that I'm very likable. Several coaches have told me that it was my best and only redeeming quality as a punter. Besides, it can be pretty cold in those late December games when you have nothing to do but stand around and sulk. At least that's what Drew told me.
Oh, it was such a funny email. It took a bad turn at the end there.
But look, you can't cut me until you sign me. Of course, I'm available immediately, but I'd prefer to join week 13 so I don't have to go to Philadelphia. So dust off that number 13 jersey and give me a call, Coach. I'm ready and willing to be your next horrendous free agent signing. Together we can make it happen.
I like that. That's the mayor.
Yeah, Ken Walter.
Together, we can make it happen. Thank you all for coming.
Let's see. Links to Jamal's contract. I'm not going to click on it.
Jared Page, you mean?
Yeah.
Jamal.
Jamal sends the link.
Oh.
Let's see. What else we got
Kevin,
here?
Kevin, why don't you click on that link? It's, you know, when you're done stuffing your face with pizza.
Jamal says also, do you guys think Plaxico would have been better than Ocho Cinco? I'm still rooting for him because of his size. Also, I think next year the Patriots will have one of the best drafts because Bill will use both first-round picks, and you don't have to pay the players as much.
How come we didn't use the two first-round picks this year, then?
I don't know.
Did you hear about this nightclub incident? There was a shooting at a nightclub. There were some Giants players there.
Yeah. I only heard that none of the Giants were in danger or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know who. Were people injured?
I don't know.
See, there were a lot of athletes there, I guess. Duhon.
A guy got shot twice and killed.
But it was just a regular patron.
And then there were two other people wounded.
But they weren't, and none of the athletes involved were wounded? Wow. What is going on in this world? Like, why do you need to take guns to nightclubs?
I don't know.
Why are you so angry that you have to shoot somebody at a nightclub?
I don't know.
If I haven't taken anybody out, you know, seriously, what is there to be so angry about?
There's nothing.
I don't get it.
VIP Stripper says about McCourty, he's been targeted and completed against the most of any cornerback in the league per Pro Football Focus.
That's
but
correct.
You know what? If you can do the last five games, Strippers, I'd like to know what that is.
I don't really know how you think it's been better. I really don't. I mean, the Jets came out with an offense that couldn't move from here to there and threw in his direction the first three out of four plays of the game.
I just
and completed
like,
them all.
I just did like to know recently.
I just told you the most recent that I could sample I could come up with was the last game.
I just like to have some facts.
The facts are that he's been thrown at and completed against more than any other cornerback in football.
Since the beginning of the season.
Yeah, I don't know why you would want to use the whole season.
Well, because sometimes trends stop and things get better.
But do you think this is my question. Do you think it's gotten better?
My eye test says yes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. We disagree. Move on.
Okay. But now he's hurt, and so now, you know, we just won't know. Josh says about Wilfork, engaged with a lineman. He was engaged with Mangold, wasn't he? One of the best offensive line players in the league. Come on, man.
I'm not supposed to expect my Pro Bowl nose tackle to be able to beat a block?
Well,
tackle a quarterback?
I guess all that Josh is saying, that it's just not any other line.
No, I understand that Nick Mangold is very good. He's also a Pro Bowler. But to just sit there and say, well, he was blocked. Okay.
Right.
I mean,
every guy in every play is.
I mean, Andre Carter was going against the Pro Bowl offensive tackle. He had 4.5 sacks. Right?
Sure.
DeBrickashaw Ferguson's a very good player.
Right.
He didn't look very good Sunday night, but,
right.
You know, I don't know.
Josh from Waterloo, Iowa, another Josh, says, hey, guys, not excluding Eric. You guys know I love to poke fun at Eric. It's not that I don't like Eric. I don't even know. It's just, well, he's an easy target.
He absolutely is.
With that being said, Eric's blog post was by far the best thing ever written by anybody to have ever written anything for PFW. It is something that needs to be forwarded on to any football media and other mainstream outlets. It captured my attention unlike anything else I have attempted to read, and that's coming from somebody who chooses to be illiterate. Fred, do your man a favor and spread that post to anybody that will listen. You can do this since it's Eric. What I mean by that is if I were Paul, he would think you are joking and move on. If it were Andy, he would never let you hear the end of it, and you would probably end up murdering him. But since it's Eric, his pomposity is already so high, he thinks everything he writes is that good. Good job, Eric.
I just walked in at the end, and I heard, good job, Eric. What's,
yeah,
what happened?
He's praising your 9/11 post.
Who's he?
Josh from Waterloo, Iowa.
Oh, yeah. He and I had an actually nice little exchange via email.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he's a big travel buff like I am, and swapped some stories. And
yeah.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Now, if Andy was here, he would have said something, but I won't.
You would have said something?
No, if Andy was here, he would have said something.
Oh, Andy would have said
right.
something. Yeah, well, actually, Andy gave me a nice compliment, too.
Did he?
He did. He actually retweeted. Somebody else made a comment. Andy retweeted and said that it was well done, and there was no sarcasm or anything in it, and it was
good.
a rare treat
well,
to get something
good.
Like that from
it
him.
It was very good.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, 735,000, according to this link for
okay.
the base salary 1 year so
per page
yeah
so, yeah why wait
I'd claim
him up on waivers
I'd claim him off waivers
Eric's here
yeah, hi how you
what's
there
what's going on
we're in the bubble today
in the bubble
even though it hasn't yet started raining
huh
yeah but they're just doing a walkthrough today
yeah
because obviously Monday night football they're going to be practicing on Saturday so today was just sort of a light day
yep
work wise no pads or anything, just inside the bubble doing a walkthrough, mostly special teams related, at least to start. However, still players who weren't there, and we have to report on, Devin McCourty, who reportedly has the separated shoulder from getting hit by Sterling Moore the other night, and the two linebackers, Fletcher and Spikes, remain who knows where.
Yeah.
They're not at practice, though.
Yeah. Fletcher is a big... I mean, Spikes, he's got an MCL sprain, so
right,
we know.
Right.
But Fletcher, I mean,
the thumb
put
is,
the thumb in a cast and get your ass out there.
Yeah.
Something else is going on.
I can only conclude that because how many guys have played with thumb surgery,
right.
thumb injury? I mean.
Unless it's like, you know, oh my God.
Did it fall off?
Yeah.
Did it have it reattached?
Or you could lose it if this happens, you know, which.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. It's an odd one. It really is. So.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's just a light practice.
Yeah, not going to get much today. We won't have an injury report because they only have to do them
because it's Monday night.
Right, yeah. So we'll get them
so
tomorrow.
So will they have that extra practice on Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, so yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday will be the heavy days this week.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Paul has left. He's another Flo Max moment.
Yes, it's that time of the show.
He just kind of ran out.
That's what happens.
And he really was running.
He was. Yeah. So fast as he can.
Yep. What's the mood of the media? What are they saying?
The mood of the media.
Because we're, you know, a lot of people are, you know, they're excited about what's going on for the rest of the season, but at the same time, they realize these aren't some good teams we're playing. So, you know, we're expecting to win these games. And if we don't, then oh my God! But
well,
if
I think the tone of the media has changed 180 degrees from last week.
Okay.
Last week, the sense I got was, yeah, there's no way they're winning this game. They're gonna lose. They're gonna be third place in the AFC East. And I have to admit, I think part of that. I didn't think they were gonna win. But in the back of my mind, I was thinking every time we get into these kind of weeks, traditionally they've won those games because good teams know how to overcome those type of adversity and those type of situations. I didn't think this team was capable because I didn't think they were mature enough. And I mean mature not from a childish Andy Hart sort of way. I mean mature just from experience-wise. Yeah. I didn't know if they were mature enough or talented enough to do it. And I think Brady even had some questions about that last week when he said, you know, we'll see what kind of team we have.
Yeah.
You know, guys like Wilfork have always said, oh, we know what kind of players we have in this locker room, what kind of team we have. But I thought it was pretty telling that the quarterback sort of hedged his bets a little bit, I think, like the rest of us, because until you actually see it, it's tough to believe in that. And after that game, it's only one game, obviously, but after that game, I think, you know, people started to, you know, in the media at least, started turning their attitude around, and, you know, it's amazing. This why the NFL is so great, because from one week to the next, every game is so important that even one game like this in the middle of the season can change a person's perception of how a team is doing.
It's only 16 games, but it's amazing how up and down an NFL season can go that few games.
Yeah, and even so quickly from one week to the next.
Yeah, it's that's why the NFL is so great.
Well, and
it's
that's
that
when
one game a week, the build-up, you know.
When I let off the show.
Oh, well done, Fred. Well pronounced, too.
Yeah. Surrounded by pomposity. That is why that I opened the show and I said to you what a difference the weeks, you know, just the apprehension that that enveloped last week, and now it's the ridiculous overconfidence that's enveloping this week.
Right.
And I would agree with Eric in that I didn't think the Patriots were going to beat the Jets, not necessarily from a maturity standpoint. I didn't think they were good enough. And they had a huge win. But I disagree that would have meant they didn't win the division.
Right.
I never thought for a second they'd finish third in the division.
Right.
And never thought for a second they wouldn't be a playoff team, even had they lost Monday night, just because of what's left.
Right.
And I think the whole thing that you guys think is great about the NFL is just a gross misrepresentation by the media, all of us. You know, I don't think it has anything to do with the game as it is. You win a game, you're the best team in the league. You lose a game, you're the worst team in the league. I mean, why not just look at it a little bit?
But I think the reason
I don't think that much differently of this team right now than I did last week. I got to be honest with you.
But the reason why people react so, you know, one way or the other is because it's one game a week. There's such a buildup, and it's so hard. You know, the games themselves are such events. And it's hard to win in the NFL, you know, except for a few teams.
I still don't think it is.
That's why, you know, every win is like this monumental event, and every loss is equally bad.
Yeah, but not to them.
No, but
to us,
right? For the fans.
Yeah, but the players don't.
No. I'm talking about the fans.
It'd be better if like every game was winnable or losable. The way they kind of portray it, like parody, it's really not. You know what I'm saying?
The good
teams win 75% of the time.
I do. That's why we're so good at our picks. Otherwise, we wouldn't be that good.
Right, and we're having awful years, and we're still like that.
I'm having okay.
I think you're like a game ahead of Eric, who's like a game ahead of me.
Yeah, but
we're having awful years
us. But straight up.
That's what I'm talking about.
But straight up, you have to be a real idiot not to be above 500.
Totally agree.
You know?
Totally agree. Yeah. So it's really not parody then.
No.
You know who's going to win every week.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
Tiff writes in. Earlier we said she's been very angry, and she agrees. But she says I'm an Andy and Paul apologist, and they are extremely negative. You guys give backhanded
lumping me in with the big head.
You guys give backhanded compliments to our defense. I would say almost all of the sacks on Sanchez were coverage sacks. Would Andy or Paul agree or disagree? I don't remember either of you saying so. Arrington made a play that kept Plexiglas from scoring. Never heard anything from either Andy or Paul. Basically, you guys have
had
a great play.
That was a great play.
Basically, you guys have had a negative influence on me. You are getting in the way of my love for Belichick and the Patriots.
Oh, wow. So you can't have enough conviction in what you're observing on your own, and you need someone else to back it up. Some might call that, well, I won't get into that. Some might say that a lot of members of the media in Boston are very similar, Tiff. They can't have their own opinions. They need someone to tell them.
That's true.
What their opinion is.
Brooklyn Matt writes in, and kind of about Tiff.
Manhattan Matt.
Oh, you call him Manhattan Matt?
Call him Manhattan Matt now, because you know, he made the effort to come down to
very,
to meet us.
Very angry with you on Sunday. Was he angry with you? He ripped you.
During the pregame social?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Killing you.
No, it's all good.
But he says, I know why Tiff is mad at the playbook. It's because Rook is freaking throws himself at her and at another female caller. The week before last, I counted three. That's three times Rook asked the chicks, where have you been all my life? It came across as kind of pathetic and needy. Oh, and also,
it's kind of like when Andy hears a girl's voice and he's like, hey, you sound hot. Can you send pictures?
Right. Why can't we just treat them like callers, you know, and fans?
I couldn't agree with you more, Fred.
I also know why Andy isn't there today. He knows I have him dead to rights after Katy Perry was exposed as a fraud last night.
She was?
She was caught faking playing a musical instrument on stage. When she stopped playing it, it kept on playing all by itself on the pre-recorded track. Now, Andy's favorite singer has joined the ranks of Milli Vanilli and Ashley Simpson.
Oh, but is that true, though?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, there are times when people lip sync, but they actually did it.
Right, you know they're lip syncing their own recording.
Exactly. So if that, my guess is Brooklyn Matt's wrong on that. But
Manhattan Matt,
that's me.
I guess I'm wrong about
recording. This is a surprise.
What do you mean?
Strippers, because I wanted, you know, we all know that since the beginning of the season, McCourty is the most targeted and most completed on cornerback in the league. That's from Pro Football Focus, anyway.
Yeah.
And I wanted to recently what's the numbers been. And according to Strippers, and again from Pro Football Focus, he says the first Jet game, 3 targets, 2 receptions for 28 yards. Versus Dallas, 5 of 6 for 70-plus yards in a TD. Pittsburgh, 5 of 6, 48 yards. The Giants, 2 of 4 for 37 yards. And the Jets, 2 of 2.
That proves my point about Pro Football Focus. Because the first 3 completions were all on Devin McCourty. Okay. And if they only had 2 for 2, then that's incorrect. It was more than that.
So maybe I'm still right.
No, you're worse.
Well, if they're wrong about that, they could be wrong about the whole thing.
Well, you're right about that because I don't really, unless it's by coaches, the actual coaches, I don't take those analytical things. There's a big thing in the Globe that Greg Bedard does every Wednesday. Greg Bedard, good friend of the show.
Yes.
He does every Wednesday.
We couldn't fill in.
He does a very...
I don't understand that.
Well, don't blame him for that.
Yeah, I don't think that was his
fault.
Blame
his boss, who is okay with owning the Red Sox, but
right.
Not okay with doing anything for the Patriots. But I digress. Anyway, he does a very detailed Wednesday piece analyzing the individual performances from the previous game.
Top five, bottom five.
And he does a positional breakdown where he does a lot of statistical analysis of what happens. Now, the problem with it is it's very detail oriented and it's a lot of work, but he's watching the film, you know, he's watching the game and he's making determinations that I don't think that a layman can make. And it's not about knowing football or not knowing football, because I think you could be the most knowledgeable football guy. If you don't know what the assignments were and you don't know what the schemes and plans were, you can't, like he made a comment last week about Stephen Ridley missed the hole on a play. He ran to the wrong hole.
How do you know?
You can't.
Right.
You can't possibly know that unless you asked him.
Right.
You know, did you run to the wrong hole? Yeah. And that's the only way you can know.
Right.
You know, and you talk. He talks at length about the defensive linemen with their pressures and their run stuffs and the linemen giving up runs. You don't know what the plan was on a given play. So, and I think it's the same thing with these Pro Football Focus guys. If you don't know what the assignments are, I don't think you can really accurately describe that. Now, even on some, and I'll be somewhat on your side on this Devin McCourty issue, Freddie, you don't know exactly what the coverages are. So there are times when it might appear as if Devin McCourty got beat, when maybe, in fact, it wasn't his fault.
Right.
You know, you don't know when he's supposed to give the pass the guy off to safety help. You don't know when he's supposed to be in a zone and it looks like he's in a man. You don't know when – I'm sure there are times when you miss that he was involved, but he wasn't even close enough to think that he was targeted.
Right.
So I don't really – I mean, I appreciate the work that goes into that kind of stuff, but I take the actual data with a grain of salt.
And one thing we do know, and it might just because there isn't anyone better, but it hasn't hurt McCourty in his snaps.
Yeah.
He's still out there.
Yeah, that's clearly the former there, though. They don't have any alternative.
Gene says, I don't know why people are complaining about our callers. I heard people complaining on the John Rooks show yesterday about Big Al. I like the questions Olivier and Big Al ask, and if I wasn't so lazy, I'd call and ask those questions myself. I think people are just spoiled and just complain to complain. Next time you call or write in and complain about someone,
like
I think
Paul just drinks to get drunk?
Not like Andy, that you might be hurting someone's feelings. I don't like bagging Eric, but Olivier is right about Eric on the John Rooks show.
What happened?
He had a little tone toward him.
Yeah, so Olivier was upset at you because he said that you really disrespected him after he got off the phone.
Eric is not usually that way.
Wait a minute.
So I was surprised. I think Eric did not like Olivier questioning him and took exception to it. I think Eric is getting a little full of himself.
Whoa. I don't recall
Olivier
this.
Olivier said
Olivier
that after
called
he
the
hung
show
up,
the other day. Yeah.
Yeah, after he hung up, you had some things to say about him.
They were in jest if he took him that way. Oh. I'm sorry. Okay. Clearly.
So what happened,
Olivier is one of our favorite callers.
What happened, Olivier, is you didn't really, you weren't sophisticated enough to understand Eric's, sense of humor.
Au contraire, Olivier is a very smart caller.
No, that does nothing. He's only smart. I can't, intellectually, that pales in comparison to the humor that
Fred,
was delivered.
Would you give him a napkin, please, so we can wipe the sarcasm off his lips?
Wow.
Do you
No,
agree,
Olivier,
Fred?
Olivier,
do you agree,
if you're listening
Fred?
Now, if you're
Possibly,
listening now.
I mean, Olivier made a point to say that on
He
his
did.
Phone.
I didn't make that up. He was very upset.
Well,
that.
Olivier, call Playbook in a few
upset.
Minutes. I'll be on with John in a few minutes. You call back. We'll straighten this out because I honestly don't remember taking any shots at you.
Okay. Well, you guys can clear it up on the Playbook.
Yeah.
That's what the playbook's for. The
call
playbook,
in, mon ami.
The playbook is here to mop up our mess.
And there's and there's a lot to mop up, Fred.
Kevin liked that one.
This is there's a lot to mop up, usually.
Yes.
John in Phoenix says, I got to say that I will not lump Andy in with Paul. Andy is very passionate about his opinion, and that comes through, where Paul is passionate about thinking he is right with no regard to the cost of listener ears. They both add a different aspect to the show to provide balance, and for the record, Andy is absolutely right about Tebow. Sorry, Fred. You take your Wildcat fullback all to yourself and watch him fall flat on his face.
See, now, there's one that, you know, I like the beginning part of that, but why is Andy right about Tebow when everybody, except for you, thinks he can't play? And can't throw. Why is Andy right about Tebow?
Right.
Well, I agree with Fred that I think he can have success in the league. Will he be a traditional quarterback? Probably not. But that doesn't mean he can't be a successful player in this league.
Quarterback.
No, as a quarterback.
Oh, no. He can't. He can't throw.
He might not
he didn't
be
play
able to.
He didn't play quarterback last week.
But who's to say that the game can't be adapted to suit his style of play?
I think the longer he plays,
he doesn't have enough ability
to do that. The closer to a traditional quarterback he'll become.
And I say give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm with you, Fred.
That was a beautiful pass he made behind the coverage.
To Decker.
Right.
The touchdown pass, right.
So if you run the ball 55 straight times and the other team says, you know what, they're not going to throw the ball, he can complete
one. Still had to get it there.
Any player on the planet could have completed that pass.
JR's here now. Let me ask JR.
Oh, my God.
You had Olivier called in last week, and he says that...
Wow, you give him 1 ounce of criticism, and he like, it's unbelievable.
I didn't criticize him. When
Olivier
called in
Olivier's
the other day.
Is upset at you.
I know.
But
was upset
you
at
think
you?
He just let it go?
Me. What did Why? I say to Olivier?
What did you say?
I don't remember. That's what I'm trying to find out.
Olivier was upset because he claims that after he called the playbook, hung up, and Eric had some disparaging words to say afterwards.
He did?
That's exactly the reaction I
don't
had.
Don't rip
Sorry,
people
Kevin.
If you don't want to take the consequences. This is what
I didn't
happened.
Rip
Andy
him.
And I this is why Andy and I are hated, because we're not afraid.
Him.
I don't remember that.
Thank you, John. Thank you for backing me up.
Olivier,
I don't remember. There's a lot of hearsay being tossed around.
This is not hearsay.
Hearsay? Kevin was there. He heard it.
Kevin's trying to stir the pot, you little bastard.
This is ridiculous. First of all, I don't see why you got to get all vulgar and everything.
You just called him a bastard.
Kevin.
Did you know that Kevin wasn't allowed to take baths before he went to work? That's what he told us. He admitted that.
Were you occupying Wall Street?
That's not hearsay. Olivier said that he was upset.
Occupy
Route 1?
I take
offense to this.
Yeah.
Because he thinks we're making
it
up.
We're not making it up.
Olivier, I want you to call back in and tell Eric why you were upset with
him. Call in the playbook.
It is true. He did call in and say.
Okay, well, call back in the playbook and we'll settle this.
I didn't hear it. Contrary to popular opinion, I don't go upstairs and listen to the playbook. I do step inside the playbook from time to time, but I don't go upstairs and listen to it.
You're missing out.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
That's going to be it.
Yeah. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition at noon. Right now, get set for the playbook. With John Rook and Eric and perhaps Olivier fighting it out with Eric. Pete Shepard on the Pete Shepard Show at 4. We'll see you tomorrow.
All the chin tins, and all she keeps inside is in on the label. She's ashamed. Can she take me for a while? Can I be your friend? We'll forget the past, or maybe I'm not able. And I break at the bend. Here and now, will we ever be again? 'Cause I have found all that shimmers in this world is sure to fade away again.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.